Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Warriors rallied from a 14-point fourth quarter deficit to beat the Lakers 115-113 last night. Steph Curry scored 8 of his game-high 26 points in the final frame. And while LeBron did have a chance to win the game in the final seconds, his late three missed the mark and Golden State escaped with their 7th win of the season. Meanwhile, the loss dropped the Lakers to 11-4, but all 4 of those losses have come at Staples Center. So, Shannon, who is most to blame for the Lakers blowing the lead last night?
Skip, you know, I like to put wins and losses as a team's win or lose the ball game. But I got 2 top 5 players, and Anthony Davis and LeBron James can't let this happen on their watch. The Lakers turned the ball over 10 times in the second half and gave up 67 points. So, in other words, what you did, you stopped defending and you started turning the basketball over. Golden State, they got back in the game. 2 huge runs, 17-2, 15-3 late in the fourth quarter. The Warriors in the fourth quarter had 10 assists, 0 turnovers. The Lakers had 0 assists and 4 turnovers. That's your ball game. They got careless with the basketball. Steve Kerr did something. He put Kelly Oubre on LeBron, and he picked him up 94 feet. Made him work. LeBron got fouled early, thought he got fouled. He didn't get the call, and he kind of got frustrated, and they kind of got him out of his game. And I thought he started to try to force some things. But when you have what I believe 2 top 5 players, this cannot happen. Golden State was really looking to pack it up. And if Steve Kerr about to call time and says, guys, okay, give me 2-3 minutes. And the 2 or 3 minutes, Skip, they got the game back within 8. It's like, well, hold on, wait a minute. We ain't going away. And the Lakers run away again. Steve Kerr called timeout. Give me 2 to 3 more minutes. So, in other words, instead of just putting them away and giving them a reason to take Steph Curry out and put those backups in, the Lakers kept letting them hang around. And then before you know it, Skip, it's an 8-point, it's a 6-point, it's a 5, it's a 3. We tied. Now you're down 5 with a minute to go. And that's what happened. So you can't turn the ball over like the Lakers did. LeBron the starters had 12 of their 16 turnovers. That's unacceptable. AD and LeBron picked the wrong game to both not shoot the ball well from the floor. If I'm not mistaken, Skip, both were 6 of 16 from the floor.
They were.
That's not good enough. So if I have to put that out, I think it's the Lakers, but I'm going to put this one on LeBron and AD. They can't allow this to happen.
Okay. I'm going to remind everyone, I'm speaking in the context of what I hear from across the table on a daily basis. LeBron James, says Shannon Sharp, is the GOAT. LeBron James is still the reigning best player on the planet, and obviously he is the reigning champion, the best player on the championship team from last year. Okay, so given that bar set that high, I got to tell you, I know it's early. We're 11 games in.
No, 15 games in.
I'm sorry, 15 games in. I was looking at the home record.
Oh, yeah.
The home record of the Lakers. We're 15 games in. Your man, LeBron James, has become an early season, fourth quarter disaster. And I don't know why, because he's never been this bad. But I will insist to you what I insisted before the year started. Your team still does not have a closer. Your team is really good and really powerful and fire powerful. And if it jumps out on you and buries you, you are mostly buried. Mm-hmm. But if you can hang in, hang on, and get this game down to the last 4 or 5 minutes, close, you got a real shot, because the Lakers still don't have that guy who says, I got it, I'll close it. Just for the record, so far through 15 games, LeBron James is shooting 36% from the floor in the fourth quarter. He's a 50% career shooter for four quarters from the floor. Mm-hmm. From three in the fourth quarter, he is 26%. Okay, so his field goal shooting ranks 203rd in the NBA in the fourth quarter, and his three-point shooting ranks 146th in the fourth quarter in the NBA. That's just not LeBron James. His free throw shooting has been pretty good. He's just on his career average. Right. He's 71% free throws in the fourth quarter. And to his credit, I got to give him credit for this. When they were down five late, he did hit his two free throws to cut it back to three. So I'm going to give you that. But now I'm going to give you what happened over the last 5 minutes of this game. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to show you LeBron's participation in this collapse. And it starts with 4:43 left, if we can roll the tape here. And this is the first three-point miss. He had made one early in the quarter. Not a bad shot. Had a chance. And then that was a travel. He just
to shoot it.
Yeah.
And but he wanted KCP to shoot. He was upset at KCP because he passed it to him. And he was wide open and passed it up. Okay.
But he just sort of lost his mind, and then he did it again. And he just starts running with the ball. And that's his second turnover in the last 5 minutes. And then he took another three and hit nothing but backboard on that one. That's pathetic. And then here we go at the end of the game, and he tries. That's a hard shot. I'm not going to dock him, critique him for that one, although Draymond, his business partner, didn't play the hardest defense because, you know, Draymond would have been fine if he'd made it, fine if he didn't. But whatever.
No, he wouldn't be fine.
Yeah, he would be fine. He walked off like, we got this. No, come on. Your heart's not in there. Your business partners. I don't blame you. Don't do that, Skip.
Don't do that.
So here's the point. So over the last 5 minutes, LeBron James turned it over three times.
Three times.
And he missed one, two,
well,
three.
Well, he only
threes.
Made one shot. So.
Yeah. Okay. So he missed three threes and turned it over three times in the last 5 minutes. You got to close. You got to do a little better than that. You got to clean up the three turnovers. To your point, if you just eliminated the three turnovers, you would have a much better chance.
Right.
One of them, he was mad at KCP. It also, Schroeder put him in a bad spot on the last shot because they tried to run a play and Schroeder had an edge and looked like, should I go ahead and drive this ball? And instead, he tried to kick it away and Caruso got it and they called timeout. So it left LeBron 1.7 seconds to shoot that last shot. So the point is, they're looking to LeBron to close and he's not closing. So far, so bad. And just to frame this, that they have lost all four of their games so far are at home. They've lost four home games. Remember, they started out, they lost to the Clippers, and then they lost to Portland, and then they lost to the Spurs, and they lost to Golden State. Mm-hmm. So is it possible that the team that lives in the basement is now starting to claim and own Staples Center? I don't know. That's what it's starting to feel like to me. Because would you believe LeBron has plummeted now to 17th in that all-important stat, PER, player efficiency rating? Mm-hmm. Guess who's one slot ahead of him at 16th? Playoff P. The most ridiculed man in all of basketball on the internet is Paul George. And he's now up to 16th in PER, and he's shooting career percentages from the field. He's 51% right now from three. You believe in that?
Well, Skip, you know, LeBron's going to turn the ball over because he has the ball in his hands, and he's tried a lot of cross-court passes, bounce passes from one side to the other. So, but the one to Schroeder, when Kelly Oubre Jr. is all over Schroeder, why would you be so careless with the basketball like that? And that's what we've seen. We've seen a lot of that. And plus, I need more from AD.
I'll buy that because, but just look at the fourth quarter. Remember, they lost at home the fourth quarter to Golden State.
Yes.
They lost 34-21.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they give. Yeah.
And where was our man Anthony Davis? Nowhere to be found. He scored 3 points, had three rebounds. I'm sorry, he had five rebounds, but he only scored 3 points. Well, usually he made one out of two shots. Well, usually you'd want him to shoot five or six shots, right? In the fourth quarter?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, look, Skip, what happened is that you let a team hang around, That's a team that you go ahead and bury and you be done with it. There's no way LeBron James should have played 38 minutes last night. He's been averaging about 30 minutes over the last four or five games because they take care of business. He gets up out of town, but they dilly-dallied around, and here you are at 38 minutes.
Yep. So usually, like the Clippers did blow a lead in a game up at Golden State to Steph when Steph went out of his mind.
Steph wasn't that crazy last night. He had that big three.
He made 3 of 12 threes last night. Oubre, who spent most of his energy on the other end, made 2 out of 8 because he's just been a disaster from three so far. Well, they shot 32% as a team from three. Well, that won't beat anybody, especially on the road. But the Lakers shot 31% from three.
And Skip, they crushed. They was plus 18 in rebounding. Mm. But you can't let Golden State shoot 50% from the floor with that small team. Mm.
Maybe LeBron and company just took the night off. They thought it was going to be a cakewalk night, a breather.
It was Dr. King's birthday. Maybe. It wasn't for them to. They didn't get the night off. Okay. Most people got.
All right.
Government workers got the day off. NBA and entertainers did not get the day off.
Okay. You got a problem in the fourth quarter, and you better rectify.
We ain't got no problem.
Yeah, you do.
Let me ask you a question. Well, who was the closer last year? Because that was the same team. AD and LeBron closed last year. Who was the closer that's not there this year? Rondo? Was Rondo the closer?
Yes, he was, actually. Oh, did they ever get pushed to the brink in fourth quarter?
Yes!
I remember LeBron last shot called for him again in game two against Denver. And he froze.
The Nuggets in game five.
I guess AD was the closer.
The Nuggets in game five.
Yeah.
Was that pushed to the brink?
No, not really.
Don't do that, Skip.
Well, it wasn't pushed to the brink.
Yes, it was. LeBron had to be spectacular in the fourth.
Okay. How about was it game five against the Heat in the finals?
Yes.
LeBron drove it. I'm like, just go to the free throw line. And he kicks it back to Danny Green, and he missed it. It was the Jimmy Butler
Skip,
game.
A wide open Danny Green. Mm-hmm. A wide open or a four shot over four guys. Mm.
Is that
what
that
Danny Green? You told me that's what Danny Green was there for.
Well, he comes and he goes.
Well, you have no problem with him coming and going when he was knocking them down. When he hit like 24 in the finals against LeBron, you was all jumping up and down. You got your Spurs colors on today, you black and green.
Mm-hmm. Yep, but the one we're talking about, Ray Allen saved LeBron in that one.
There's no Ray Allen to save you this time. Okay. We're going to save ourselves.
Okay.
Okay, well, it's good that they're getting out of Staples right now because they're about to start on a 7-game road trip. So maybe just, you know, leaving home. And I think home court advantage just doesn't have the same appeal without the fans this season. So they're getting on the road. We'll see how they respond. Well, Patrick Mahomes is in concussion protocol after leaving in the third quarter of the Chiefs playoff win. There is optimism that the reigning Super Bowl MVP could be able to play in the AFC Championship. Head coach Andy Reid even implied that his QB could have returned to the game this past Sunday under different circumstances, telling reporters, quote, there was a chance back in the day that Patrick comes back in the game. You saw him run up the tunnel. At the time he got to that point, he was feeling pretty good, but there's a certain protocol you have to follow, and that takes it out of the trainer's hand and the player's hand in the doctor's hand. So, Shannon, are you glad he wasn't able to return?
Yeah, and that is absolutely right, Skip. But we know more now than we knew 20 years ago, 30 years ago, hell, 10 years ago. We know more. We know concussions and repeated concussions have lasting and long-term effects. And billion-dollar lawsuits against any corporation will change the way you do business.
Yep.
The NFL, Skip, they used to have put out these videos jacked up and you got smashed and all. They don't do that anymore. Mm-mm. Because that was leading to it. And Skip, look, we know the players. We see guys have injuries and they take injections and they get out there and they go play. This is for an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl, and you see Aaron Donald on the field crying after the game because he's like, man, I don't know how many more opportunities I'm going to get like this, and here's an opportunity that's gone because I'm not 100%. In years past, Andy Reid is absolutely right, Skip. That game got close like it got. He came running right back down out the tunnel and then put his butt in there. But the NFL says, we're going to take it out of your hands because you're going to do it in the best interest of the team. Mm-hmm. And the player says, you know what? The player's going to do what my guys need, Ms. Kemp. They counting on me. I got to be superhero for them. So the NFL says, we're taking it out of the team's hands. We're taking it out of the player's hands. Mm-hmm. We getting independent doctors and neurologists on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And for most part, Skip, when a guy get dinged, he ain't coming back in the game. And when you see a guy get like that, get hit like he a boxer, and he's staggering, he has to be held, he shouldn't come back in the game. But he's absolutely right. You could have gotten days staggered like that in years past, 15 years ago, and they'd have put your butt right back in the game. I'm glad the NFL is doing what they can to take the players out of it because, Skip, you don't want to let your teammates down, especially in a moment like this.
Yep.
So I'm glad the NFL has adopted different protocols. I'm glad the team has no say in it. Mm. I'm glad the players, because, hell, Skip, they used to ask you back in the day, you see these two fingers, how many fingers I got? I have to go repeat what you said. You said you had them two. And I run back in the game.
Yep.
So it happens. I'm glad they did not allow Patrick Mahomes to take his butt back in this ballgame.
And as Andy said, back in the day, not that long ago, it would have been pretty cut and dry if you can go back in the game because we did see him run up the tunnel without assistance. Yeah. He looked like he was, at that moment, fine.
Skip, on a Monday night game, I did a crackback on Chris Late. I never forget it. I hit it with the crown of my helmet. I knocked both of us. I was out. We were winning the game. We were up by like 20 points, Skip. That thing got close. Guess who went back in the game in the fourth quarter?
Okay.
Me. We didn't know. I mean, we knew, Skip, you got your bell rung. I didn't even hear the term concussion until I was damn near probably like 8-9 years in the league. You got dinged. You got your bell rung. Skip, nobody used the term concussion. I never heard of no concussion. Oh, you got your bell rung. Oh, you seeing stars. Okay. Shake it. Hey, shake my head.
Mm-hmm.
Get the cobwebs. I come out for a playoff, coach. I'm good. Go back in there. Not anymore.
Hmm. So my first brush with this came back in 1979 when I was first covering the Dallas Cowboys, and the great Roger Staubach was told by his family doctor, not the team doctor, his family doctor, Roger, you got to stop. It's just too many. What was his nickname early in his career? Roger
the Dodger.
Okay. So he would run like a madman, and he was really good. He's a Heisman winner at Navy, obviously, and those first 5-6 years, remember, he did a Vietnam tour, so he didn't start until he was 28.
Right.
So this was age 38, but he was like he was still 28.
Mm-hmm.
And they just told him, sorry, you need to stop.
Right.
Team doctor said, you're fine, let's go.
Of course.
And Roger said, for the sake of my children, my wife, I just have to stop. And it was a shocking announcement in Dallas-Fort Worth because he was it. He's still
I think they had just lost to, didn't they lose to the Falcons? I think they lost to the Falcons in a playoff that year, Skip. That was his final one, 79.
It was the Rams.
Right, okay.
They just lost to the Rams, and his final pass, weirdly, went to Herb Scott, which was his offensive guard. You know, that was his last completion. But we didn't know at that moment that was going to be his last completion. My point to you was, nobody had any idea then, except an independent doctor said, Roger, you just can't do that. You're going to have serious problems.
Right.
Okay, so I got that. I'm all for brain safety. I'm about erring on the side of caution. But the problem with the new policy is it can also err on the side of the absurd because you have to put every case in the same bin. You know, you have to throw them all in there and say you treat them all the same.
Right.
Well, they won't even tell you whether Patrick Mahomes actually was diagnosed with a concussion because We don't know, and they don't care.
Well, Skip, I ain't no neurologist, or neurosurgeon, anything. I know what he had.
Okay, do you? Because I don't, and I've been watching for a long time. I still don't see what happened to cause him to stagger.
But Skip, that's the thing, though, Skip. You might not have saw it.
Okay, remember, even our Jay Glazer reported soon after the game that there was some report out that he had some information out of Kansas City that he got choked out a la UFC, you know, where you lost oxygen supply because the linebacker has him around the throat for a second. To me, it didn't look like it was long enough to get choked out, but that it was an oxygen problem. And he does, if you see it, he falls on the football, which can, as you well know, it can knock that breath out of you and you feel like you're about to die for a second. You see him fall on the football here and yet his head didn't hit the turf, and Andy said he was told that it was the blow to the back of the head that staggered him.
Right.
I don't know. Again, I'm just shooting in the dark. I'm just guessing like you are. But the body language of the stagger, that's it.
But that's,
now all bets are off.
That's the, even if you don't know, that's one after you see that player does that, he can't come back in the game.
Obviously, this is a big game on Sunday. And it's sink or swim for the Chiefs. You told me yesterday, if there's no Patrick Mahomes, Buffalo's got a great shot at winning this game.
Buffalo winning the game.
Okay, so you say it's a done deal, Buffalo wins. So it's sink or swim.
Yes.
Does Patrick pass or not through the concussion protocol? So just to remind everybody, because it's fairly new, there are five steps to this protocol.
Right.
They're complex. You know, the first one's just light stretching and balance training and very light aerobic exercise. And then if you have to be passed right through that step, and then you graduate to more serious cardiovascular exercise, you do more balance tests. And remember, they've already taken your baseline scores before the year starts,
yes,
your neurological baseline scores. So you have to pass that your tests are showing you're back at your baseline. That's just stage two of this. Then you go to stage three, and it's a limited amount of football-specific right exercise. And then if you pass, you go to stage four. It's another big round of tests and non-contact football drills.
Right.
Okay? And then if you pass to stage five, guess what has to happen? You've got what's called now the INC, Independent Neurological Consultant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is huge because somebody not affiliated with the Kansas City Chiefs, somebody agreed upon by the Players Association and the National Football
right
League, completely independent. Maybe it's a doctor from California.
He ain't completely independent. Then you'd have to get somebody that's not affiliated with either to come in and evaluate it because somebody paying that salary.
Okay, but again, it's somebody they've agreed upon,
yes,
who is probably not that familiar with the Chiefs. He's going to come in from the outside in. I assume you're going to have to fly him to Kansas City for the final sign-off.
He might not be familiar with Kansas City, but I guarantee you he know the AFC Championship game.
I know
who Patrick Mahomes
okay
is.
Well, now you're sort of talking out of the other side of your mouth.
But I'm just saying, Skip, I understand it's independent.
Is this guy a football fan or not? Because I am. You're obviously an ex-star, but a fan.
Yeah.
And do we want to see Patrick be allowed to play? Yes, we do. Because we did get to see him run up the tunnel. For what that's worth, he did bounce back fast enough. He ran up the tunnel. He did bounce back fast enough that Andy Reid said prior to this kind of protocol, he said, I'm pretty sure we would have put him back in the mm-hmm game because he seemed fine.
Yes.
Okay. Does that mean he was fine? No, it does not.
No.
Okay.
So, I used to do, I was one of the first ones when they came out with the baseline test where you would test before mm-hmm just in case you got a concussion.
Yep.
I did better after I got the concussion than I did before in the regular season, without anything, Skip.
Well, maybe it smartened you up a little bit.
Maybe so.
Maybe it knocked
because
your
what
brain
you do,
back
Skip,
in
is
place.
That they make you do things with your left hand. You have to do, you know, you put you on the clock and you do things mm-hmm like that. You put in the different holes and locations. But, Skip, after seeing Patrick Mahomes, Skip, you know he wasn't going to be able to come back. Mm. Especially in, like you said, during today's protocols.
Yep. Okay.
But what did the guy say, man? I can't, Skip, you don't want to let your teammates down. They're counting on you, and you're like, man, I got to get back out there.
Okay. So the average quarterback over the last 4 years has been able to return within 7 days. That's
right
been the average
right
sort of baseline
right
of their return.
Right.
Does that mean he'd be cleared? I don't know.
I tell you what, if I'm a Buffalo, I ain't worried about no quarterback sneaks.
Mm.
He ain't going to back his league, Skip.
Well, I wouldn't be worried about any more option plays.
No option.
He might scramble on his own, but nope. They're not going to call any more runs.
Unless it's fourth and one with the game on the line.
Yep.
And you dive over from the one, Patrick Mahomes is not going head first into anything.
So, fortunately for Patrick Mahomes, he doesn't have an NFL history of concussions.
Correct.
There's no cumulative buildup yet.
Right.
He did have one. It was reported at Texas Tech 2014, he was yanked from a game because he was woozy, and they had a bye week, so he got a break, and he came back on
right
schedule to play the next game.
Right.
So that's the only sort of reported concussion in his whole history.
Yeah that's the thing. I mean, I had one in the AFC Championship game, one of the few times. I think I've had three where, Skip, I've gotten completely knocked out. Well, you don't remember anything. You don't remember coming to the game. You don't remember how you got to the game. I just remember looking up at the scoreboard. Because when it happened, I remember just like yesterday, Skip ran a seam. It was three deep, cover one, I mean. I'm like, I know John ain't going to throw this ball. John throwing this ball.
Mm.
I got to get on my horses because this guy going to pick it. And we, boom, Skip, I'm out. Mm. So we behind now. When this happens, we're behind. It's about 3 minutes left in the game, and I'm looking up at the clock. I'm like, how did we get the lead?
Hmm.
And if we win this game, what happened? Ron Smith standing right to me. He's like, fool, we going to the Super Bowl. in the locker room, you go look at NFL film. Mike asked me, do you remember what happened? Nope, but I know we're going to the Super Bowl. Mm. It's one of those, it's a funny feeling, Skip. It's just like you sleep and you wake up and you don't remember anything. You ever had a dream, Skip? I mean, you go to bed, you don't remember anything that happened that you dreamt about? Mm-hmm. That's what it's like. Mm. But I, like you said, I had 2 weeks in between that game, the championship game, and the Super Bowl.
You did.
I was fine. But I knew when Patrick Mahomes got up, he tried to get up, Skip, and that equilibrium was off. Mm. Go ahead and shut him down. Mm. Go ahead and shut him down, Skip. It's okay. That well, we got Chad, we got the hen dog. Mm. Anything is possible with hen dog.
Anything is possible. On any given Sunday. As they say.
And Tony Romo, Skip, I remember back and listen to the audio. Tony Romo say, they not going to snap it. They try to get him to jump offside. Oh, he snapped it.
He snapped it.
I knew Andy Reid. I said, they run a sprint option. They run a sprint option.
Well, you know what? We might not get a verdict on this one. That kickoff is at 6:40 Eastern time on Sunday. It might go right up to kickoff.
How would you want to bet Patrick Mahomes plays?
Well, now you're talking out of the other side of
your mouth. I'm just saying, he's going to play, Skip, with a week. He's going to play. Now, this is not a Thursday night. Maybe if it was a Thursday game, Skip. But did they really diagnose him? Like you said, they didn't say it. It was his knee.
I keep talking about this, but it wasn't like the shot that my guy Andy Dalton took at Washington from John Bostic.
Because, Skip, we're trying to figure, did he get hit in the back of his head? Did he get hit in the side of his head? Did his head hit?
No.
He got hit face on by John Bostic. Boom. We knew what happened. We saw it. Yes.
And it cost him a game.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We could see that. We still like, I didn't even see him get hit to the head.
Yep.
It's just hard. Concussions affect everyone differently.
They do.
I mean, I've seen teammates along the year. I mean, you never know. So you just, the protocol's in place for his safety. We hope he's well. And of course we hope he's back. But we want him to be well. No mercy.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation. And as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed. No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's better than the playoffs? The NFL playoffs continue Sunday with the NFC Championship presented by TurboTax Live as Tom Brady and the Bucks take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Pre-game coverage starts at 1 p.m. Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. I'm already counting down the days. Well, let's talk about this matchup a little bit more. Tom Brady, we know it. He's got 6 Lombardi trophies and 4 MVP awards. Aaron Rodgers, though, he's no slouch either. He's expected to win his 3rd MVP this season, but has only gotten to 1 Super Bowl in his 16-year career, trying to get back. Skip has said repeatedly that Brady is the GOAT, but Shannon has said several times on this show that Aaron is actually the better quarterback. So, Antonio, please help us settle this thing. Who has been the better quarterback, Brady or Rodgers?
Career-wise, give me Tom Brady any day of the week. And I say that because he's done a lot more with far less on his roster. I mean, he's only had 1 year where he's had Randy Moss and the guys. And I mean, if you include this year with 3 all-pro receivers that he's had in the lineup. But give me Tom Brady any day of the week just because what he's done while he was in New England and the little bit that he did have to go out and go win 6 championship rings with the caliber guys that he had on that offense side of the ball.
So let me ask you a question, Crow. Is defense important?
Defense, this is a team sport, the ultimate team sport.
Okay.
This is always important.
So in Brady, 20 years in New England, he had a top 10 defense, 17 of those 20 years. Rodgers has had 3 top 10 defenses. Rodgers has had 1 top 5 scoring defense, and that was the season in which he won the Super Bowl. Mm. Tom Brady has 8 top 5 scoring defenses. When you look at Rodgers, Rodgers has thrown 412 touchdown passes, 89 interceptions. The question I have for you, if Aaron Rodgers is in New England, do you believe he has more or less Super Bowls than Tom Brady? Coach Belichick in the same situation.
I think he still have less. Because he couldn't work with the guys that he had. He has to have big-time caliber receivers to succeed in his offense. And it shows that from Greg Jennings to James Jones to Jordy Nelson, all these guys.
If you don't mind, okay, he needs all of those guys. If you don't mind me asking, when those guys left Aaron Rodgers and went to other locations, can you tell me what they did once they left Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, they fell off the
Why?
I would say that. But you got to think, most guys are what? Scheme guys. If you can scheme a guy, that's the same thing where you put Nnamdi Asawa. You put him from Oakland and go to Philly. What did he do? He fell off the cliff.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the quarterback does. It's the people that surround him in that scheme that helps him to produce the points the way that he needs to go. And they can go somewhere else and fall off. That doesn't mean anything at all.
For me, I believe Tom Brady is the most accomplished. But for me, one game, given the exact same set of circumstances, I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers. Mm. If you're going to give me Coach Belichick and that coaching pedigree, I'll take Aaron Rodgers.
Shannon Sharp.
You're taking Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
So why Aaron Rodgers couldn't beat New England, the games I think Tom Brady was suspended on, why he didn't win that game?
No, Tom came back.
Yeah, he came back, but he didn't play that game.
Yeah, he played.
That's the same game that the offensive lineman returned what's his name on?
Returned the kick.
Yeah. So tell me why Aaron Rodgers? You want to bring up these defenses and everything else, and how great Aaron Rodgers is? And I'm not taking nothing from because Aaron Rodgers is a heck of a quarterback. But at the end of the day, when Tom Brady wasn't there, he still couldn't beat Tom Brady without Tom Brady.
That's the defense.
New England without Tom Brady, it doesn't matter.
So he
still had all this weapons still. And Shannon somebody Sharp. Else beat him with four less.
What would have happened if Aaron Rodgers had actually gone to New England and been there in the Tom Brady run? I say he would have lasted about two practices with Bill Belichick because he couldn't have stomached him. Aaron couldn't have handled that because Aaron's got too much diva in him. He's got too much star in him. Tom had to win in spite of Coach Belichick. He had to overcome him. He had to save the locker room from Belichick. He had to be, to me, the greatest leader in the history of team sports to try to win in spite of a coach who didn't give him much help, decreasing help on offense, and was very difficult to get along with during practice and film sessions because it was his way or the highway. So to me, Aaron wouldn't have lasted in that environment to start with.
I believe he would have lasted, Skip, because I think the thing is what happened is that it all depends on where you how you start, Crow. It's like when you go to a hard coach, if that's your first dealing with Tom Coughlin coming in as a rookie is a lot different than dealing with Tom Coughlin in year five or year six.
Definitely. 100%. I mean, it's like you said, it's all about how he goes into it. I mean, Aaron Rodgers got drafted with Mike McCarthy and everything that was going on with Brett Favre. And it's all about how they come into it. But at the end of the day, we're saying who's had a better career overall between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
More confident.
I'm taking Tom Brady any given day of the week.
Okay. One thing. Let me ask you this. Okay, right now, Tom Brady, the Tom Brady he is, and he gets a coach like Coach Belichick, could he play for him right now?
If he gets him right now?
Right now. Well, Tom Brady's like, we got Tom, like Tom Brady.
I know, but he just found Nirvana in Tampa. He said, I'm finally having fun.
No, the Tom Brady that we know, Coach Belichick wasn't his coach. Okay. And he gets a coach like Coach Belichick right now. Okay. You think he could deal with it?
If he were a young player or now at 43?
Now.
I don't know. It's such a hypothetical. He chose Arians because he knew he could actually finally have some fun.
That's my point. Coach, he got Coach Belichick when Tom was young. So he could do that.
Okay. I wanted to remind you. You just said, like, one game for your life, you're taking Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tom Brady.
Okay. Tom Brady has won six Super Bowls with six game-winning drives in the fourth quarter or overtime. He's been off the charts great late in all those Super Bowl games. And they all came down to the wire, and he won the game with a great drive to set up. I'll give you a field goal, but a lot of times a touchdown.
Yeah.
And he's also won two AFC championship games against Jacksonville. They're down 20-10 in the fourth quarter, and he throws for 124 against Jacksonville. And against Patrick Mahomes in an AFC championship game in the cold and wind at Kansas City, in overtime, they win the toss, and he converts three straight third and tens. It's impossible. It's never been done before. I don't think it'll ever be done again at that high a level with the stakes that high. And you're saying you'll take a guy who's played in four NFC championship games and played, by his standards, lousy in all four of them. All four of them. He's 1-3 in championship games as Aaron Rodgers.
Skip, do you realize this? Only twice in Brady 43 playoff games has this team given up 37 or more points. Rodgers has had that happen five times in his losses.
Okay, but look what happened to Tom Brady in the first Giant, the first Eli Super Bowl. He did what he always does. He had a game-winning drive, and with 2 minutes left, he hit Randy Moss with a touchdown that put them ahead 14-10. And where was Belichick's defense against Eli?
Let me ask you a question.
They let him go 83 yards for a touchdown.
Let me ask you a question. How many games do you think Aaron Rodgers would lose if his defense only gave up 17 points?
Okay, well, what happened to
this? He gave up 17 points against the Giants, and he lost twice.
Okay. How many points did Nick Foles score against Bill Belichick? Backup quarterback. 41 points. Brady threw for an all-time playoff for 5, 33 points, and lost.
You making my argument, Crow.
No,
he's
I'm not. No,
now.
You're making my argument.
Skip, but, I just told
33
points. But Shannon, he's bringing up, he's just saying from a standpoint of points. You're talking about the defense. Belichick defense gave up 41 points.
Yes.
And they end up losing.
But you think about how many times Aaron Rodgers' defense has given up 41 points.
That's almost every week.
Okay. And meanwhile, Aaron was playing lousy football on the other side.
No.
At San Francisco last year.
Crow, were you there in Arizona when y'all beat him, 50? When y'all beat him, 55 on that in OT? Were you in?
That was 15 when they beat him that bad. That was when, that was 15, the season 15. That's when Larry Fitz broke on that big
run. No, this was another one. You might have been there, Crow. The Cardinals beat him in overtime. 51-45.
We ain't playing that yet.
Okay.
We ain't playing
that yet. Because the Cardinals beat him in the wild card round, if I'm not mistaken.
I remember.
51-45.
Well, are you talking about his first ever playoff game?
Yeah, might have been.
Year he started. But we're going all the way
2009,
back to 2009.
Yeah. 51. How you overcome in a playoff game, Crow? 51? Gave up 50 piece.
That. Well, that's one game.
That's one game, though. Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Didn't they just give up
to the NFC Championship?
When they give how many points did the defense give up in the NFC Championship game last year? 49ers. 40 what? 37, my bad.
Yeah.
When they give it to the Falcons?
Wait a second. How many did Aaron give up to the 49ers last year? Two interceptions and a lost fumble.
Skip, he didn't play.
Here you go. QBR 23.
Oh, don't worry about it. Just have my three cases. I want you to bring my three cases with you on Monday morning. Monday morning.
Can I get in this three cases?
Yeah, you get some too.
Yeah.
I take my three cases.
Thank you.
Six
cases.
No, I don't.
Yep.
Oh, you know what LeBron about to do? He about to be with Pepsi now. You know, he about to come over to my dude.
You know what? He can supply you with the dude to pay me.
No.
You can get it for free.
I don't want no diet dude. He said he don't do diet dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want diet dude either. No offense, Skip. Sorry. That's your thing.
That is your thing.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. It's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. No mercy.
With reports that the Lions are expected to name Dan Campbell as their next head coach, that leaves just two openings. And surprisingly, Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy is still available. Andy Reid told reporters that, quote, whoever gets him is a very lucky organization. And he also said he hopes Bieniemy goes to the NFC so he doesn't have to face him as often. if he does get a gig, Bienemy would be the first African-American hired in this year's coaching cycle. So, Shannon, how disappointing is it that no African-American coaches have been hired, especially Eric Bienemy? Because we have been talking about him, guys, it feels like for a couple of years now.
It's very disappointing, Skip. Five of the seven vacancies have been filled. Only the Eagles and the Texans are left. And the Texans didn't seem interested in EB until Deshaun Watson got upset.
Right.
Now Deshaun Watson upset and looks like he might be on wanting the way out. Now all of a sudden they want to do a virtual. Now EB was available, Skip, because remember this year was something different. Only one team in each conference got a bye. The Kansas City Chiefs had that bye.
Sure
that
did.
Was your opportunity to interview EB. You didn't do it because you had no interest. It wasn't until Deshaun threw a fit, you let it, he said, I'm at a 10. Mm. Now all of a sudden, Skip, you see, the problem that I have is that what they try to use against EB is that he's not calling the plays. Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, he was the quarterback coach of the Rams. He didn't call the plays, got a head job. Matt Nagy, the head coach of the Bears, he was offensive coordinator under Andy Reid. He did not call the plays, Andy did. Doug Peterson did not call plays,
did not.
Andy did. John Harbaugh, who's won a Super Bowl,
yeah.
was a special teams coach and later a DB coach, mm-hmm. did not call plays. Yeah. Dan Campbell, hell is a tight end coach.
Yep.
When does he ever call plays? And about to get a job in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You see what they did, Skip, here, is that the NFL didn't want black players until they found out the black players were better than the white ones, and then they couldn't get damn enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
The same way in college. They didn't want black players, and then they found out they were better. And then all of a sudden, well, how can't we get enough of them? You look at the search. They had the minority, had it lined up for the Houston Texans. You had two minorities as your general manager. They said, forget that. We want the white
guy. They went to an independent.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Independent.
Here
are your two candidates right here. Lewis Riddick and the guy, Khan, I think his name is Khan from the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
There's your guy. Oh, that's what y'all got? Oh, forget that. No, we want him.
Mm.
So, Skip, what good is it if they give you the information that you paid for? So, in other words, you just paid probably a couple of million dollars, $500 million,
mm-hmm.
to go on your own when you know damn well you didn't want to hire the minority anyway. Why you waste your money? Because it's all about show. Everything they do is about the show. Oh, they quote Dr. King, and they mm-hmm. quote this one, they quote that one, and do absolutely nothing about the hiring mm-hmm. diversity, but 75% of the players that play, African American.
Mm. So, by the way, if you ignored the Houston Texans, if they ignored their search firm, you think they're going to hire Eric Bieniemy now?
Oh, absolutely not.
No.
And that's why Deshaun going to bounce on them, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to learn. And now we got to reward you. The NFL said, we'll reward you if you hire a minority. We maybe give you a third-round pick. Think about it, Skip. I got to reward you for doing the right thing. If kind of like the Emancipation Proclamation, what happened, Skip, is supposed to free the slave.
Yeah, I know.
But guess what they did, Skip? They didn't give the slaves the money. They gave the slave owners the money.
Yeah.
They let the slaves go because we don't want y'all to get upset, so we want to appease you. So what we going to do for doing the right thing, we'll compensate you for doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL, look, Skip, Roger Goodell can only do so much. I know Roger. I know him a lot better than you do. I think you've been around him a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I know Roger. He's a good man. He really is trying. But, Skip, it's hard to tell a man that spent $1 billion, $2 billion, or $3 billion on a franchise who in the hell he should hire.
Yep,
It just can't. I mean, his hands are tied. And they can give you all the lip service they want to about diversity, Skip, but at the end of the day, you're not finna tell me who to hire.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sad. It's sad. They can play for you, but you don't want them to be the face of your franchise.
Mm. So, to echo everything you just said, I don't find this disappointing. I found it appalling. And I don't know how to fix it for the reason you just gave. College football is appalling to me because they had 13 vacancies. Only one went to African-American coach. And that was the Alabama assistant.
It went to Marshall.
So now we're all the way down to Mike Tomlin, Brian Flores.
Robert Saleh did get hired.
Saleh got hired. He's of Lebanese descent.
Right.
I don't know how you qualify.
He's a Muslim.
Okay.
They discriminate against him, too. So, he in there.
All right. And Ron Rivera is from
he's
Hispanic
yeah.
background. Okay. Mexican-American, mm-hmm. I believe. Okay. So, that's it. African-American, you're down to two.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And I have lived with this through my friend John Wooten. I've been in touch with him this morning. He has, for years and years, run the Fritz Pollard Alliance overseeing the Rooney Rule, and he is just at wit's end over this because he thought it was heading in 2017 in the right direction. Right. But all of a sudden, the jobs that were gained by African-American coaches, they were not able to keep.
Correct.
Including, finally, your friend who coached Alien the Chargers.
Chargers.
Right?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you had these vacancies, and they didn't get filled one time by African-American. And what scares me the most is I don't even hear names of young assistants in the pipeline.
Right.
Do you hear names of, that was the whole idea, the concept of the Rooney Rule. You must interview at least one African-American. Now they're trying to make it at least two, but that it just gets...
They just, come over here, sit down. We're not going to hire you, but it'll look good.
Skip, Marvin Lewis, you around? Can we get you on Zoom for a second?
Skip, think about Pep Hamilton.
Yeah.
Now, Justin Herbert just had the greatest rookie season for a quarterback in NFL history.
Yep.
Ain't nobody mentioned Pep.
No, I haven't heard his name one
Leslie
time.
Frazier. And the thing is, now Josh McDaniels might get this job. Skip, let me ask you a question. An African-American, they give him to say, you know what? We want you to be our head coach. Mm-hmm. And on the day of the press conference, you said, nah, I'm not going to take it. I'm going to stay where I'm at. Do you think he'll get another opportunity?
Mm. Nope. I hear Todd Bowles' name in relation to the Eagles job. Been a head coach before.
Yes.
Do you think he's got a shot? Probably not. I don't know for sure, but I have a lot of respect for him.
It's probably going to want someone. This is the way they do, Skip. We want someone that's going to develop our quarterback, work with our quarterback. You better get somebody that's going to be able to lead a team.
Yep.
Because the quarterback is only one aspect of a team. You better worry about the defense. You better worry about the special teams also. So you better get a leader of men and start worried about specifics.
So speaking of the Chargers, you know what really got me? That they hired the Crosstown Rams defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley. I don't know that much about him, but he's 38 years of age. Just 4 years ago, in 2016, he was the defensive coordinator at John Carroll University.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about a meteoric rise?
That's what they do.
What?
I mean, you know.
What?
Before we come, we can't become the CEO till we 70, but we don't spend 30 years as a janitor. Nothing wrong with being a janitor, but the one guy come in after, hey, you look nice. Hey, we're going to put you at VP. Man, this is ridiculous, Skip.
Really?
I mean, EB, can't be, come on, Skip. I'm not Skip, who knows? But at least give a guy a chance.
So I got an analogy for you. I went through this with a guy you know very well because he was your first coach, right? Dan Reed.
Dan Reed, yes.
Okay. So I got to know Dan very well, even while I was out here at the LA Times back in my Cub reporter days. And Dan was the constant bridesmaid, so to speak, for every job.
Yep.
He kept coming in second for maybe 8 or 10 jobs. Couldn't get one, but he was only 37 years of age and obviously a white man.
Right.
Those were the days when, good luck with any African-American.
Oh, you wouldn't get no job. You wouldn't get no
job.
No job.
Okay. So Dan couldn't get a job, and he was afraid that he was the finalist for so many jobs that it would just burn owners out and say, well, he can't get a job. He doesn't deserve our job.
Right.
Well, finally, your team, the Broncos, said, you know what? We're going to take a job. What was the knock on Dan? Well, he didn't call the plays because Coach Landry calls the plays.
Right.
He's just kind of the quarterback coach or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dan Reeves ended up going to 4 Super Bowls. Yep. He did not win a Super Bowl, but you know him. He was qualified to be a head coach.
Very, very qualified. But that's the skip. That's the knock they need to use against minorities
when
they don't want to hire you.
Yep.
He doesn't call the plays. Mm-hmm. Or I heard he interviewed poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Skip, how do you interview poorly? He was like, okay, here's the staff I would like to hire.
Mm-hmm.
This is the type of offense I like to run. This is the type of defense I like to run.
Yep.
Here's my meeting schedule. Mm-hmm. This is how I like to do things.
There you go.
How you mess that up unless you talk about the man, mama, or his wife or something?
I don't know.
How you interview poorly?
I don't know. So Eric Bieniemy is now 51 years of age. So I'm sure some people are saying, well, is he sort of past his time?
You know what it is, Skip? It's kind of like the senior in football or basketball. Hell, if you're that good, why you wait till your senior to leave?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know this, Skip, especially in basketball, you one and done.
Yep.
So, the guy at Denver, the Denver head coach right now, I forget it, Vic Fangio.
Yeah, Fangio.
He had to wait 50, 60 years old to get a job, so it's not too late, but they bull-jive with EB.
And by the way, Fangio is the one who bought Brandon Staley into the league and fast-tracked him to the head coaching job.
Everybody get fast-tracked except us. Yeah. We get slow-tracked. Maybe we're on the wrong track. Maybe we're on the right track and just headed the wrong direction. You know, sometimes, that's the trade. Okay. Oh, you're on the right track,
so
but you're headed the wrong
fix,
direction.
Because I don't have a
fix. No, there ain't no fix. The fix is you got to change what's in a man's heart and what's in a man's mind.
Yep.
Guy pays $3 billion for something, he ain't listen to nobody to tell him what to do with it.
You just got to do the Spike Memorial, Spike Lee Memorial, do the right thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.